I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Southern writer, Barbara Kingsolver, once looked out on her farm in the mountains in springtime and, stunned by the beauty that she saw, proclaimed, "I see more colors of green here than there are words in the dictionary." There are times in life when words simply fail us. We take in the glory of God's creation and we are overwhelmed. We realize that that box of Crayola colors just doesn't do justice to all the shades of green that we see on the trees in springtime. And right about that same moment, it dawns on us how limited the rest of our language is. How can you possibly sum up what happens when you meet eyes with the one that you love, or the feeling of holding a newborn baby in your arms, or when someone gives you the most perfect gift? Words like love and beauty and thanksgiving just feel a little inadequate. I wonder if the writer of Psalm 8 felt that way. "O Lord, our governor, how exalted is your name in all the world," he begins. He's speaking directly to God. This is the only psalm in the entire Psalter that's entirely addressed to God. There are no verses that are directed to another audience. So this is for God's ear alone. A little intimidating. And it's a song of praise about all the wonderful works of God's creation, God's mighty acts of power, and mankind's involvement in that creation. As he continues, "When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers," I wonder if the psalmist felt like his words weren't enough, like all of his metaphors weren't brilliant enough to illumine the majesty and might of God. Even those words, majesty and might, feel a little inadequate. The same thing happens to us when we face acts of violence and terror. Words simply fail us. A flag salesman in Durham, North Carolina, was interviewed by the BBC shortly after 9/11 about why American flag sales had suddenly risen so sharply, and he said, "His customers just want to show their patriotism because that's all that they can do." Our country had no words to describe what we were feeling. Words failed us on 9/11. All we could do was fly American flags on our lawn or on our cars because we couldn't express what was happening with our words. We used that flag to speak for us, to sum up a really complicated reality. Our feelings of community and solidarity, our anger, our grief. We were all trying to say, how could something so horrible happen so close to home? And no matter what we did, to cling to words like patriotism or grief or tragedy, they all fell short of summing up the event of 9/11. Today is a day for joining the psalmist to consider the heavens and the work of God's fingers. And I find myself thinking about the inadequacy of our words. And the irony is certainly not lost on me as a preacher using words to explain how inadequate words are. I get it. So Trinity Sunday is a day when we contemplate the Holy Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And those three words are the ones we've chosen to use to talk about God. They're also a really big part of how we worship God every single week in this place. You might notice that collect of the day, the prayer that's prayed on the, it's on the front page of your bulletin, it always ends with the name of the Trinity. O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. That's familiar to us. It's a beautiful and grounding way to talk about the mystery of God. But ultimately, even those holy words fail us. They can be distracting. You may hear the word Father, and all you can think of is an earthly human father, maybe even your own complicated relationship with your own father. You might be turned off by some of the overly masculine language, or you might simply be disconnected with the names for these three persons. They are a little too narrow to fully understand the mystery of God. So this is the ultimate case of the failure of our language. The names of the Trinity aren't enough. They don't do justice to the might and power and wonder of God. What do we do when words fail us, especially when speaking about the most important subject, how we talk about God? We Christians have an uphill battle when it comes to language because we don't always use our words very well. There is an innate desire in all of us to be reasonable, to be right, and that desire affects our faith. There's not a lot of space in our souls for the mystery of God. And what's more, sometimes we commit that sin of trying to domesticate holiness, using our words to pin down God, to try to describe God in a way that makes sense. Words not only fail us, they can limit our understanding. We let the Trinity become a label for God, and then it's no longer about worship. We're not entering into a holy mystery of the living God. And the Trinity was never meant to be a label or a name for God. The Trinity was meant to be a creative invitation, a way to experience the community that exists in God and the many ways that God relates to us. So what do we do when words fail us? Well, in our church tradition, we turn to things like practices, spiritual practices that form our habits. We practice participating in the sacraments, baptism, and Holy Communion. We practice loving our neighbor. We practice keeping Sabbath. We practice thankfulness. And through this work, over and over again, the repetition of these practices, we start to see God at work in the world. We start to trust that a holy mystery is at work even if we can't see it or name it. For the last couple of weeks, Dixon and Randall Rogan have been teaching a course about how Christians respond to terrorism. And through this class, we've talked about some of the scary events in our history. And I think you can't deny in that room that there's an urge in all of us to explain things or to have Dixon and Randall explain things. We want answers. We want to talk about crime and punishment for violence, a clear path of right and wrong, policies that will help keep us safe. Because when the whole world is in chaos, we want definition. We want clarity. Dixon and Randall have been teaching us about how different it is to live in God's kingdom and how walking in the way of Jesus takes us away from definition and from violence and retribution, and it takes us to a place of radical forgiveness in the face of violence. It's incredibly hard work to do, but we don't do it overnight. We do this gradually by practicing looking for God in the world and putting our trust in God's mercy. They've taught us about continuing those practices of sacraments and worship and Sabbath and all of these radical, unusual ways of living in the world, those are our responses to terrorism. Spiritual practices that train us to think theologically about everything, even the things in this world that most frighten and challenge us. This is what we do when our words fail us. Bishop Curry, man of many words, once said that he found himself without words as a parish priest when he took communion to people who were suffering in some way, and he felt so helpless. And he said, "What do you say to a person who is dying? I had no words adequate. What do you say to a person who's addicted to a life that is killing them? I had no words adequate. I didn't have the words, and you don't. But Jesus does." In our worship, think about all the ways that we experience Jesus without using our words. We cross ourselves at the name of the Trinity. We kneel at the confession. We put our hands out to receive Christ's body and blood. All these wordless gestures, and they point to our helplessness to ever sum up the mystery that is God. So this Holy Trinity Sunday, as we join our voices in worship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we consider the heavens and the work of God's fingers, think about worshiping God beyond language. Think about the last time that you saw something so beautiful that you were at a loss for words. Maybe it was the mountains in springtime or the look of love from someone in your life, holding that newborn infant in your arms. Think about that feeling of helpless wordlessness and hold that majesty in your mind as you worship here today. And think about how that moment showed you something about God. The psalmist hopes that God's majesty would be praised above the heavens, that we might trust that God has set up a stronghold against his enemies. Let's trust that stronghold together, even in the face of all danger and violence, that God's kingdom prevails, even when the kingdoms of this world are crashing down around us. This is what we do when words fail us. We offer ourselves as participants in God's holiness, not as believers who have everything figured out and have the right answer, the correct definition for God. Because we worship a God who defies all definition. We worship a Savior who transforms the world through the mystery of suffering, and who saves us in the most mysterious and powerful ways. May we join together this day and meditate on the one whose name is exalted in all the world. Amen.